Welcome along, and of course, I don't think I've seen anybody apart from my own family, so just to say Happy New Year. It is the first Sunday of the new year, of course, so we welcome you along this morning. Let's hear the word of God then before we come to worship today from Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, wherever you had formed the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or by reason of strength 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, your glorious power to their children. Let the favour of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Amen. Amen. Let's rise and sing our opening hymn. It'll be up on screen. Because he lives, I confess tomorrow. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. Let's rise and sing together.
Thank you.
Let's continue to worship the Lord as we pray. Let's come before the Lord this morning. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you brought us to the house of the Lord this morning, the first Sunday of a new year. Thank you for the measure of health and strength and soundness of mind. Thank you for your keeping grace over 2023. And we pray you continue to be with us and to encourage us and renew us, Lord, in our faith in 2024. Lord, forgive us for many sins and failings as we worship you this day, and may we be strengthened in our faith, Lord God, we pray, and better equipped to serve you. You are our Heavenly Father. Thank you for who you are. You've created us, you've given us life, and you give us many good things to enjoy. Thank you for redemption through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has died at the cross at Calvary to pay the price for the sins of his people, and he's risen again. He's alive forevermore. Thank you for the Saviour. We've been remembering him over this last couple of weeks, Heavenly Father, over the Christmas season, the festive season. Thank you that Christ did indeed come into the world to save sinners. And the message goes on. It's not just for Christmas, Heavenly Father, but it goes on into a new year. And the work of the gospel goes on as well into a new year, and in fact a new era for the church as well. Heavenly Father, help us to serve you faithfully. Fill us with your Spirit. Help us to serve you, Lord, faithfully. Lord, we're reminded as well that one day we have to give an account to you of our service. Lord, you are our judge. And help us, Heavenly Father, to serve you, Lord, and to be living for you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus is coming again to take his blood-bought people to be with himself. And Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would labour on and live our lives in the light of Christ's coming. That is the goal, Heavenly Father, and help us to be ready for that moment when Jesus comes again. Help us to serve you faithfully, Heavenly Father. And Lord, we just bring our needs and petitions before you. Thank you that you do hear and answer prayer. Help us to be more prayerful, to be leaning and depending on you, Lord God. But we want to pray for people, Heavenly Father, in this time of need. We're remembering, Heavenly Father, those that are laid aside through ill health. You've been near to them. You've been near to Christine this morning, Heavenly Father, while she's been suffering and laid up in bed. So just pray for her. You'd restore her to health and strength. We do pray for others laid aside. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those who are suffering bereavement. We're remembering the family of Robbie Ross. Pray for Alec and Lisbeth this morning and others in the family, Lord, who are mourning the passing of a loved one. Thank you that they... Thank you, Heavenly Father, that he's in the presence of the Lord. We just pray you give comfort and strength to those who were left behind mourning. And others, Lord, we know in the past year who have been bereaved, just pray you'd give much grace and strength for the days that lie ahead. Lord, we are remembering Robbie and Michelle and the family, Heavenly Father, now as the ministry here is finished and the new chapter's opening up. Just be with them as they're making preparations. You know who they are and who they're with this morning. Maybe spending some time with family. We just don't really know, but be with them. Bless their preparations and plannings. They're planning to fly over this week. Pray you give them a safe journey over. And Lord, we ask you to bless and guide in the ministry they are over in North Dakota, Lord, in days to come. May it be a blessing and may it be a fruitful ministry. Lord, go and help us to keep remembering them before the throne of grace, we pray. So, Heavenly Father, bless our time this morning. Lord, there's much we need to pray for. We pray for the spread of the gospel, for the furtherance of the gospel throughout the world in 2024. We're mindful that there's still conflict and difficult spots throughout the world. Two in particular, as I brought to our attention, Lord, we think of what's happening in the Gaza Strip and the conflict there. We pray that you'll bring about a peaceful solution, Lord God. And we're mindful that it's nearly 2 years now that the conflict between Russia and the Ukraine's been going on. We pray for peace there, Heavenly Father, and be with those who are displaced from homes as well and have to move on. Just pray that you'd draw near, Lord God. And Lord, we do pray for peace. And Lord, we pray as well in both situations and indeed elsewhere, you'd bless gospel work. And through the work and witness of the gospel there, we do pray that people in both these places that we've mentioned, Lord, where there's conflict, that you would be glorified, Lord, that you'd build your church, Lord God, and you'd call it a people to yourself. There's other troubled spots out in the world, Lord God. We do pray for peace. As the psalmist says, may the nations praise you. May all the nations praise you. Bless the work of the gospel throughout 2024. Set people free from false religious practices, Lord. May people find salvation in Christ alone, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we do pray that you'd bless the work and the witness here. We pray for wisdom for leaders of this nation. We pray for wisdom, but also for his strength, Lord. Some would seek to pass laws, Lord, which are ungodly and might be hindering the work of Christians and gospel work. Lord, we just pray you'd overrule. We already see your hand of overruling on some occasions, Lord. We do pray that you'd overrule, Lord, some of the laws that they're trying to pass. And we do pray for the protection of our gospel freedom, Lord, in this country, we pray. Lord, we pray for a spiritual and a moral healing for this nation, Lord, in days to come. So, Lord, bless our time together. Just help us to focus on you. We just pray that we're not just going through the motions today and putting in our appearance, Lord. Help us to listen to what you've got to say from your word. Revive our hearts, Lord God, we pray. Help us be better equipped and renewed to serve you. And Lord, we do pray as well. We see the world round about us. We think that the end may be near. We don't know what your plans are. We do pray for renewal, Lord, in the church, for a great ingathering of souls. And Lord, we do pray as well. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So hear us this morning, we pray, and help us as we further worship you now as we come around the Lord's table. And Lord, bless our gathering this morning, we pray, and we pray we know it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Bless other gatherings throughout the town and community and throughout the land this morning where the word is being preached. We do pray you'd bless and strengthen your church, O Lord. So we pray these things and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to come around the Lord's table before we begin. Let's sing the first two verses of our communion hymn. Just remaining seated, Man of Sorrows, what a name. The first two verses only, and we'll sing the rest of the hymn after we've taken the communion. But first two verses, Man of Sorrows, what a name. Writes, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Peter was writing to Christians who were discouraged because of persecution for their faith, and he wrote to give them a bit of encouragement. He says, you have been redeemed. Okay, you are redeemed. Okay, not with perishable things such as silver and gold. You are redeemed. The word redeemed there, what does it mean? It means delivered by the paying of a ransom price. And the ransom price for us has been paid once and forever by the Lord Jesus Christ. We're redeemed not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. He's the Lamb. Okay, John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the one to whom all the Old Testament sacrificial systems pointed forward to. Redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold. Silver and gold will corrupt in time. You can't take it with you, as they say. Silver and gold will corrupt in time. You've got to leave it all behind. But the blood of Christ will never lose its cleansing power. It goes on now, it goes on into eternity too. So just a thought then as we come around the Lord's table, redeemed, not with corruptible things which will pass away like silver and gold and worldly possessions, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul writes the following. He says, for I received from the Lord what I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." At this point in the service, I'll leave it open. Would someone like to give thanks for the bread, which reminds us of the body of Christ, broken for sinners like us? In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we've been celebrating Christmas just this last couple of weeks, and thank you for the Lamb of God who came into the world to save sinners. When the fullness of time had come, you sent forth your Son, born of a woman, to redeem those under the law. Thank you for so great redemption, deliverance, by the paying of our ransom price, a price we could never pay in and of ourselves. The Lord Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life, was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Yet he who knew no sin became sin for us and died in our place. And he shed his blood at the cross of Calvary, that we, if we're trusting, if we've repented and believed in him, Lord, we are saved by your wonderful grace. Thank you for your grace to us, Heavenly Father, and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we take this cup which speaks to us of the blood shed so freely on our behalf, Heavenly Father, may we take it with glad and thankful hearts, we pray. So hear us this morning, we ask it, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take the cup then as we receive it. So, Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this time around the Lord's table. Thank you for what it means to us. Cleanse us of our sin, Heavenly Father. Renew us in our faith. And we thank you that this feast is only until he come. And once again we pray, as we've already prayed this morning, even so come, Lord Jesus. But make us, Lord, better equipped to serve you in these days that we're living in. Thank you for all that you've done for us and are continuing to do for us, Heavenly Father. And thank you for the great hope that we have in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have no continuing city. We're looking for the city that is to come. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's rise and sing the remaining verses of our communion hymn. Right, my Bible reading this morning, or our Bible reading, I should say. Our Bible reading this morning is Exodus 21, the first six verses. So that's the chapter after the Ten Commandments, Exodus 21 and the first six verses. So Exodus chapter 21. Now these are the rules that you shall set before them. When you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve for 6 years, and in the seventh he shall go out free, for nothing. If he comes in single, he shall go out single. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gives him a wife, and she bears him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out alone. But if the slave plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the door or the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall be his slave forever. Amen. Okay, we're going to look at that passage then in a moment. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. We pray that you speak to us from your word afresh. Teach us by your spirit, and may you be glorified in our midst this day, we pray. Speak to us afresh, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we come to the passage, we'll sing another hymn today. A good one for the new year. I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see. Let's sing together. I think is this a nice thing, worship band? Is it? Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks, Anne. Thanks, Alexander and Jordan. Thank you. You okay? Aye. That's the fourth one. That's the last hymn this morning. You've had a glimpse of it, okay? So you know what you're singing at the end. Right. Have we got a problem, gentlemen? Because we could hear another hymn. Is it working? Do you hear music for it, Anne? Yeah, I do not know what. You got it? I thought it was in the handbook, you know. I'll tell you what, I can see Anne's got another hymn in the book here. I know whom I have believed. We could maybe sing that one. Is that okay? That I know not why God's wondrous grace. You managed to play that for us? Thank you, Anne, and thank you, gentlemen at the back. We managed. Well, Jim's just saying bring back out the hymn books. If we need them, we can get them. I know not why God's wondrous grace. Can we manage that one? Get the thumbs up from the back. Thank you. Thanks for that. So let's sing it there. These words are based on Paul's letter to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Let's rise and sing together.
Amen.
Well, you know, we hear of some shocking crimes on our TVs when we turn on and watch the news. And very often you hear of different court cases taking place for people that have, due to people that have committed some really horrific murders, stabbings, for instance. And there's quite a number, seems to be an increasing number of these as time goes on. One of the most horrific, I think, during the last year, one of the worst ones was at, what was she? She was a child killer, Lucy Letby. She killed 8 children. She was a nurse, a trainee nurse, and she's been given a life sentence through it. She didn't even attend the court case. Absolutely awful to hear about it and to watch that in the news. You see a number of shocking court cases relating to murders that's been committed. And after court cases, you might hear words like this on the TV when the families of those that have been affected will come out and they're interviewed afterwards about the verdict of the trials. You might hear these words: "It wasn't money we were after, it was justice. They've got what they deserve, we're pleased, they're behind bars. It wasn't money we were after, it was justice." They're saying they can't bring back their loved ones, they can't bring back their dead, but at least the offender can be put in prison for a long time. We have a legal system here, which, if carried out correctly, is designed to punish wrongdoers and make reparation for those who have been harmed. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. I mentioned when we were reading the scripture that this chapter comes right after the chapter with the Ten Commandments. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, but why? Okay, you learn them in the Sunday school, of course, but you learn them when you're younger. I won't ask anyone to recite them all this morning, but why were they given? Well, God was, at the time, God was concerned that justice should be done, and the chapters that follow show the working out of the Ten Commandments. And the chapters that follow show how the law ought to be applied, beginning with slaves. So let's just go back to the original context, thousands of years ago, and let's think about, first of all, servants in Moses' day. Servants in Moses' day. So let's consider, first of all, it says here, when you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve for 6 years. And in the seventh, he shall go out free for nothing. Then later on, we read these words: if the slave plainly says, "I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free," then his master shall bring him to God, and he shall bring him to the door of the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall be his slave forever. Now, what is being said here? Let me be clear, first of all, that the Bible does not support slavery. The Christian faith doesn't support slavery. In fact, Christianity would be a major force in the abolition of slavery through people like William Wilberforce way back many years ago. But in the days of Moses, slavery was common in those days and at that time. It was one of the customs of the time. God gave instructions to Moses as to how a slave should be treated. Later on in the scripture, of course, we have the Apostle Paul giving instructions as well to masters as to how to treat slaves. There were in no way, Christianity, the Christian faith, and the Bible does not support slavery, but it was one of the customs in the days of Moses and in the days of the Apostle Paul. God gave the instructions. Let's come back to Moses here. He gives the instructions to Moses in Exodus 21 how a slave should be treated. Now, every Hebrew slave knew that he could walk out from his master after 6 years. All right, we have in the letter of Philemon, we've got the account of Onesimus who runs out to his master because he's done wrong. And of course, things have to be done. Of course, Onesimus will meet Paul in prison and be sent back to Philemon. But here, we have a situation where the slave could actually be free from the master. Okay, not running out, but could walk out from the master after 6 years. When you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve for 6 years. In the seventh, he shall go out free. Most would likely have done that. You can understand that. Some, however, would come to love and respect their master and would not want to leave. Therefore, God gave an opportunity for the slave to honour the master. They would give up their rights and remain slaves forever. His master shall bring him to God, and he shall bring him to the door of the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall be his slave forever. The slave there had to do something. What did he do? Do something painful, yeah, certainly, but something personal. He wasn't forced to do it. Okay, this was optional. Okay, something personal. He wanted to do it. It wasn't forced. Something public, witnessed by the judges and seen by everybody. And permanent, okay? Personal, public, and permanent. It could not be retracted. Now, I don't know much about body piercing, but I think if you get your ears pierced, which I've never had done, but you get your ears pierced, eventually if you didn't put an earring in, the hole will just fill up again. But this time, on this occasion here, the slave would be marked permanently. Now, the judges, they were not forced to do it. The judges presumably would have made sure that the slave made the decision willingly and not under any pressure. So when it's all agreed, when everything's been agreed between the slave, the master, and the judges, when everything was agreed, the slave was made a slave for the rest of his life. And what would happen? I don't like the sound of this. I wouldn't have liked to have been a slave in Moses' day, because the master would take the slave to the door or the doorpost of the house and take an awl, an A-W-L there in verse 6. What was an awl? A sharp, pointed metal tool. All right, be different from the ear piercing or the piercing that goes on today. When I was just finishing off before Christmas, I was asking different pupils, what do you get for Santa Claus for Christmas, as you would do? And so I was asking different people what they were getting. And one of the girls, a primary 7 girl, 11, 12 years old, she says, "I'm getting my nose pierced." I can think of better presents than that, but that's up to her. And then she started to say, "Hey, do you know so-and-so? She's had," and she started to tell me about different parts of her body that's been pierced. I don't want to know, okay? But body piercing, it's an issue. Today, of course, people get it done. In those days, though, it would have been very different, much more painful. Maybe not, dare I say this, as professional. Okay, it would have been professional for the days they lived in, but not done in the way it would be done today. A sharp, pointed metal tool piercing the slave's ear would make a considerable mark, marked for life, fixing the slave to the doorpost, and the slave became a permanent servant. They wouldn't be permanently fixed to the doorpost, mind you. It'd be a bit difficult to serve if that was the case. But the slave became a permanent servant. His ear was fixed to the door of the house. The doorpost, well, think about it. It is the place where everyone enters and leaves. All right? If you saw somebody fixed to the doorpost of the Baptist church here, you'd all see it when you come and go. Thankfully, you wouldn't see anything like that. Hopefully, you'll never see anything like that. But the door is the place where everyone comes and goes. For the rest of his life then, okay, so this was done publicly, willingly, and for the rest of his life, the slave would have the mark of the awl. That's a reminder of what? Pain, certainly, and permanence. Pain and permanence. The pain and permanence of slavery. But it would show as well, he's a willing slave who loved his master. Now, all this happened in a foreign land, a foreign people, the people of God, the Israelites, thousands of years ago. What's it got to do with us today in the northeast of Scotland, small town in the northeast of Scotland, in the Baptist church in the 21st century? What's it got to do with us today? Okay, we've looked at the servants in Moses' day. But the Old Testament, of course, is pointing forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's building up to the coming of the Lord. So the servants in Moses' day, the first point, point forward to the second point this morning, the suffering servant. And this ceremony, the servant being pierced, should remind us of someone who willingly became a servant for us. Okay, these slaves were willing servants in Moses' day who were pierced. We have someone who willingly became a servant for people like us. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, he said, came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for the many. We have a servant who loved his master, his heavenly Father, loved his master so much, and loved his children, that's us, the people of God. He loved us so much, he endured the pain of servanthood. And he was completely obedient, okay, not like earthly slaves, not like Onesimus who could run off, rob his master and run off. Jesus was completely obedient. He obeyed his Father's will. And ultimately, he was pierced. He was pierced. Paul writes about Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He loved his Father. He also loved his children. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The world, that's us. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, that's Hebrews 12. He loved us despite our rebellion. He came to that which was his own, and his own knew him not. But despite that, he loved us and endured the cross. And the servants in Moses' day were pierced. Well, remember, Jesus was pierced. Pierced for us. He was pierced. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes we are healed. He left the glories of heaven to come to earth as the suffering servant to die for sinners. God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And all who repent and all who put their trust and believe on him alone, will know his salvation. The Bible calls us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. All right. During the time of the Reformation and since then, before then and since then, the church has devised different confessions of faith, rules of faith, just to help people along. I think that's the first confession of faith. Okay, there in Romans 10:9, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's an exclusive way of salvation. Okay, there's only one way, and that's through the believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone might say to me, I'm being too dogmatic there. If you think I'm being dogmatic, it's because I am. Okay? Only one way. I wonder if you've repented and believed. Okay, this is the servant who was pierced for sinners like you. For a sinner like you, pierced, wounded, gave his life, offered up his life freely at the cross. Have you, even after all these years, have you put your faith and trust and believed on him and knowing the joy of salvation? Are you his servant? Let's consider the third point this morning then, servants today. We've looked at servants in Moses' day. We've looked at the ultimate servant, the suffering servant, our Lord Jesus Christ. But let's think about servants today. Going back to those Hebrew slaves who loved their masters a great deal, they wanted to devote their whole lives to service. The Lord Jesus Christ was like that. He completely obeyed his Father's will because he loved him and he loved us. And even when he was faced with the cross, He said, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He was totally committed to his Father's will. Not my will, but yours be done. And he endured the cross that we might be saved. How should we respond? We should give our lives willingly to serve him. Of course, we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ when we repent and believe and trust in him. We should give our lives willingly to serve him. But if we are genuinely converted, if the conversion, if the faith is real, we'll want to please him. James says that faith without works is dead. I sometimes wonder if we've been guilty as not just Fraserburgh Baptist Church, but you know, the church in general throughout the northeast of Scotland and indeed throughout the land, been guilty of offering a weak gospel, a watered-down gospel that just basically says, well, if you just now repeat this for me, you repeat, it's like an evangelical absolution, if you like. You just repeat three or four lines of a prayer, okay, come out with the rest of the group, repeat three or four lines of a prayer, and you get saved. There's no repentance. There's no humbling before the Lord. You can just go off and live as you please and treat people as you please. And very often, just after a short period of time, they're away from the church and away from the Lord, and many years on, there's just no interest or no fruit. And in fact, they can even persecute true Christians. By their fruits you will know them, says the scripture, says the Lord. But if we've got a genuine faith, okay, if we have really put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we've prayed and really repented, genuinely converted, believing, repentance and faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to please him. We're devoted to serving our master. Let me ask this morning, is your ear bore to the door? In a spiritual sense, is your ear bore to the door? How do we show it? If we are devoted to our master, to our Lord, how do we show it? Well, when I was younger, they used to speak about having your QT, okay, your quiet time. Okay, devotions. First of all, do we have a daily meeting with God? Have we lost it? Do we need to get it back? A regular daily meeting with God. How do we do that? Spend time with the Bible. How much should we read a day? Well, we should certainly seek to have a better understanding. When you're a fresh Christian, you're a young Christian, you newly get converted, you maybe start with just a handful of verses a day. But as you grow, you should seek a better understanding, seek to know the truth, to know how to live, to please God. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking and encouraging, that the man of God may be fully equipped for every good work. Peter says, like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. But hold on, though. People don't, okay, babies start feeding on milk, but they don't continue with milk. You've got to go on, go to solid food. Paul says to the Corinthians, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. Well, are we taking this solid food now? Are we ready for the solid food? The food of the Word of God. Have we gone on from the milk to the solid food? Have we sought to have a better understanding? How much of the Bible do we read? Have we read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? What can we do to help? Could maybe get some guys to help us. A Bible reading plan can help. Certainly, Robert Murray McShane's Bible reading plan would take you through the whole Bible in a year. Or, in fact, it will take you through the Bible in 2 years as well. You could do it over 2 years. It could be helpful. If you want one of those, I can point you in the right direction. I can tell you where you can get one. Maybe as well, more harder books like the Book of Revelation or the Book of Daniel. Okay, I know we've had some studies on Sunday evenings here, but they're still hard books to understand. The Book of Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. How are we going to know what these mean? Get some simple Bible reading guides or simple commentaries just to help you get a better understanding. Move on from the milk. Get the solid food. Have your time with God. Have a time of devotions. Get into the Word. Get back into the Word if you've lost it. Times of prayer. Prayer on your own. And the prayer meeting. You pray in the prayer meeting. Now, I'll be careful what I'm saying here. I want to be sensitive. It's not always easy to pray openly, but during the time of prayer, when it's on and online, or when we meet together, maybe not pray out loud, but are you always praying? I know one pastor friend of mine down south was quite concerned. He started online prayer meetings, but people weren't putting the cameras on and they were, you know, doing their cooking and doing their ironing and they were sleeping or whatever. I hope that's not the case here. Are we praying? We've got to pray when we're on the prayer meeting, when we're at the prayer meeting. Wrestling with God. Fasting. Have you ever fasted? That's associated with earnestness in prayer. Why should we pray? Why should we pray? Hey, there's great needs out there. Villages, towns, cities, with many unreached and many unconverted children growing up in desperate situations. There's needy missions in this land and in others. There's terrible things going on in the nation. We need to pray. There's laws that they're attempting to pass which could restrict our freedoms. We need to pray. We need to pray for our own spiritual Christian lives. Many other things as well. But we need to pray for our own Christian lives. Are we growing? Are we bearing fruit? Are we having the devotions, the prayer and the Bible study? Are we having the quiet times? Have we lost it? Do we need to, 2024, get it back again? Set time aside. And then there's giving. Do we follow the example of the widow who gave the two coins small, as the children's chorus says? One lonely widow, two coins small. Jesus was watching when she gave her all. Are we following the example of the widow who gave her gift of the two small coins? Giving to the church, giving to mission societies. Many Christian workers wonder where their next meal is coming from. John, in 3 John, says that we ought to, when he speaks about messengers of the gospel, he says, therefore we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. Hey, is our giving, is our lifestyle sacrificial? And serving, service. How do we use our time? Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Not saying that they're wrong. In fact, they can be useful tools. They can be very helpful. But how much time do we spend on them? What's our Christian obligation? Are we supporting our church? Are we taking time with the prayer meeting? How much time do we spend on Facebook and YouTube compared to how much time we spend in prayer and the prayer meetings? Visiting people, witnessing to others. Are we in service? Any of you ever heard of the name Dawson Trotman? Does that ring a bell? Dawson Trotman. He was a member of the Billy Graham organisation in the 1950s. So no doubt he certainly was down in London in 54. I don't know if he was in Glasgow. He died in 56. He died very tragically. And what happened was basically that he was on a boat with two girls who couldn't swim. Those girls both fell into the river. Trotman dived in to save them. And he managed to do so. Actually, he managed to lift the first girl back onto the boat. And just as he was lifting the second one, a wave took him away, and he couldn't hold on anymore, and he was killed. He drowned. That was Dawson Trotman. But in his obituary, this is what it said: always holding someone up. Okay, a fitting epitaph, considering how he died, lifting those girls up into the boat, but always holding someone up. He was a man who gave support and encouragement. Are we giving the right encouragement? We're giving up some of our home comforts and family to help others, time with family to help others. Paul writes, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. But do we speak, or at least try to witness to others about the Lord? Are we praying for them? Are we trying to build bridges with the unbelievers? Trying to witness? Some might just be a step away. Others will be much harder to reach. But nevertheless, shall we go forward with a desire to see people reached, touched, changed for the Lord? Is that your vision for this place in days to come? To see people changed by the grace of God, for the Lord, for his glory. The needs today are great. We're a year's march nearer home now. 2023 is gone, getting closer to the time when Christ will come again. As the day is approaching, let's remember the fate of the ungodly. Is your ear branded at the door, bore to the door? Are we bowing in submissive service to our Lord? There was a missionary, C.T. Studd, a famous cricketer who became a missionary. Here's what he said. You've heard it before, I'm sure. Here's what he said. Only one life, it will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon it's fleeting, ours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. We've all to give account, haven't we? I wonder if we'll be saying, you know, when we stand before the Lord on that day, we might say the words of an old hymn. Not hear it sung in churches much, in churches. We've only heard it once sung really at a mission. By and by, when I look in his face, beautiful face, thorn shadowed face, by and by, when I look in his face, I wish I had given him more. Just quoted C.T. Studd. He was a missionary in the 19th century. I can quote someone as well, quote someone's motto from a more recent day, John Blanchard, an evangelist who died just a few years ago. His motto was this, and it's a good one to meditate upon. He said, as much as I can, as well as I can, for as long as I can. Remember the fate of the ungodly. Remember if they stand before the Lord someday, but let's remember, most of all, our Saviour. He came to serve. He offered up his life for others. Will we give our lives willingly to serve our Master? Is there something in our lives, something in the work we do in the church, something that needs to change? Will we give our lives willingly to serve our Master, our Lord? Will we give our lives in obedience to him? Amen. Amen. Let's sing our closing hymn together just as we reflect, and let's sing Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just pray you'd strengthen us in our faith and cause us to examine our hearts, and may we go forward 2024 serving you faithfully and willingly, Heavenly Father, and keeping our eyes fixed on you. So, Lord, may your grace, mercy, and peace be with each and every one of us for the remainder of this day and indeed throughout the week and throughout the year to come, we pray, God willing. We ask these things in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen.